Welcome to AvWeb's audio news update for today, June 23rd, 2006. This week, AvWeb's in-depth report is made possible by Aviation Consumer Magazine, the consumer resource for pilots and aircraft owners. And speaking of owners, anyone who is one will have at least one engine, and perhaps two. Despite advances in airframes and avionics, engines remain the single most expensive component that airplane owners have to worry about. No one is more aware of that than Teledyne Continental Motors, which is this year celebrating 100 years in the business of building engines, first for automobiles and now, of course, for aircraft. Through its century of engine-making history, TCM has established itself as a technological leader with important advances in basic engine design, ignition, and fuel systems. As part of a year-long observance of the company's centennial, it invited a group of aviation journalists to its plant along the shores of Mobile Bay in Alabama to learn what new developments TCM is working on. AvWeb's Paul Bertarelli attended the event on Tuesday and later interviewed TCM President Brian Lewis and Chief Engineer John Barton. One of the most intriguing things TCM is developing is called the Alpha System, which is nothing less than a high-tech marriage of traditional engine monitoring with online data analysis. TCM has the basis of this in its well-regarded TCM Link system, which has been around since the mid-1990s. And what will the Alpha System do exactly? Here's TCM's Brian Lewis.
And it will marry up information for the individual user or flight school specific to that airplane and that application. And we expect that utilization to go all the way to eventually being able to look at the running engine through the FADEC data system direct online with the factory if that's required.
The Alpha system does assume that future TCM engines will have some version of the company's PowerLink FADEC or Full Authority Digital Engine Control. But TCM concedes not many FADECs are flying yet.
Speaking of the FADEC system, it's been flying since 1999. It hasn't really gained much of a market share yet. We talked briefly about that, but could you expand on how you plan to increase that market share and why it hasn't gained much traction so far?
Well, I think there are a number of issues involved with the PowerLink FADEC development. Obviously, the technical challenges are substantial to produce a fully redundant system that's compliant with all the FAA regulations. But I think the significant factor also was generally the state of the industry. As I think you would know, we had somewhat of a downturn in the early 2000 time period. There were several emerging OEMs that were starting their businesses. And also the glass panel technology came online about that time. So I think some of it is the technical development period that was required. And then I think a lot of it was just really the timing and positioning in the industry. But also now we have completed what we envisioned as the total PowerLink system, which includes not only the engine control, but the data collection unit and the service and maintenance system and the communication systems with the flat panel that goes with that. So it's been a substantial project. We're glad to see the Liberty airplane be the first production commitment to the airplane. And we think when we introduce the Alpha system that we're encouraged that we'll see other OEMs coming onto the product in the not-too-distant future.
And what time frame do you see that happening as far as the Alpha system really kind of pushing the FADEC notion along?
I think it's, as always, because of just situations that occur in the industry, it's difficult to put a definitive time frame on it. But I think when the full technology benefit becomes obvious when we introduce the complete Alpha system, I really would expect that in the, say, 3 to 5 year time frame that most of our OEM applications will be FADEC-based.
If TCM's vision comes to pass, the Alpha system could fundamentally reshape the maintenance experience for a typical aircraft owner. Here's TCM's John Barton.
Everybody starts off talking about the PowerLink control and its ability to control fuel and ignition, and that's only part of the intent. The objective was to take the engine control, record the information on how the engine is operating and doing it, and then mine that information to do maintenance activity and very active engine life management in the long term. The advantages that can come out of that are short-term, real-time notification of any issues. Also, the ability to kind of play back an intermittent problem and do very accurate troubleshooting. On the higher level of services, the Alpha Services program we talked about, we can integrate the more conventional compression checks, oil analysis, with that data stream and begin to move to an on-condition maintenance system, much like the turbine world operates in today.
Paul, if I can have some follow-up on that, I think people would be interested in the end product of the Alpha service system. We envision that largely as something like a handheld EDA device that will take care of fuel system setup, compression analysis, and will look at the engine data from our PowerLink system. And, I think that's going to be very valuable in pinpointing exactly what maintenance requirements are. And eventually it's going to get us to the position where maybe we can, in concert with the FAA, define a service system that's on condition versus on regular intervals, which would be, we think, have a lot of good economic benefits for the end customer.
Is there enough FADEC data now to prove that concept?
I believe that we have developed enough FADEC information to begin to do the trend analysis and the projections of life that we need to do. Those will evolve over time, but I believe we have enough information now to launch the program with some of our customers.
One of the things we talked about during the press briefing was future fuels and the availability or lack thereof of leaded 100 gas. You're doing some research on large displacement engines capable of burning premium autogas, I noticed, with or without FADEC. What are the technical challenges to be overcome, and is it realistic to expect that such an engine will hit the market, say, within 3 to 5 years?
As you pointed out, we have been doing development evaluation of auto fuel on both FADEC-controlled engines as well as conventional engines. The focus, though, is on using the FADEC control and its ability to read conditions and react to the conditions. And we are fairly confident that that will permit us to run naturally aspirated engines with the PowerLink system with minimum impact.
Do you foresee that market being large enough to produce a whole new line of engines? If 100 low lead does disappear, and we've been saying that for 20 years, but it seems to be pretty persistent, it seems to me that if it were to disappear all of a sudden, you've got a lot of premium 94, 95 octane premium auto gas out there. Do you think there's a substantial market there? In large displacement, of course.
If the fuel suddenly went away, the ability to adapt the PowerLink system to largely existing engines would certainly give us the ability to react quickly with a fairly wide model range adapted to run premium auto fuel.
The other fuel of note, of course, is Jet A. Continental under the GAP program produced a running four-cylinder two-cycle diesel engine a few years ago. What's the status of that project, and where do you think it's going to go?
We did the four-cylinder 200-horsepower diesel engine as a joint program with NASA. We regard it as a very successful proof of concept engine in that we were able to demonstrate very good fuel consumption, reasonable weights, and certainly demonstrate a viable engine. In reviewing where that project stands, we would probably consider a six-cylinder version in higher horsepower range as being the launch version of that engine. It falls behind the continuing FADEC work now and possibly the introduction of some auto-fuel or unleaded fueled engines in our pecking order of R&D programs. We do see it as a opportunity for the non-domestic market in the future.
Do you think it would follow the same design strategy as the four-cylinder? Would it be a two-cycle diesel?
We know that that is a viable approach. We would also reevaluate at that time the four-cycle and perhaps other approaches. At this point, we would likely go with the two-cycle, however.
Last item here on the list, a couple of years ago, we saw an intriguing engine that was a product of joint research with Honda. Where does that project stand now, and will it be moved forward?
We have not had much press announcement in the past year, or I guess a little bit longer than that, on the Honda program. We still have an excellent relationship with Honda. The engine that we did a proof of concept flight demonstration on has been evaluated, and we're essentially undergoing what I would call a significant redesign of the engine. And I guess we'll look for some kind of a prototype demonstration within the next couple of years on the new design.
Would that likely go to a six-cylinder design at some point?
That engine is targeted at the same power class as our original press releases, which is in the neighborhood of 230 horsepower.
Okay, I think that's all we have time for today, gentlemen. Thank you very much for joining us. We'll look forward to talking to you a little further down the road to see how these projects are progressing.
Hey, thank you, Paul.
Thanks, Paul.
Bye-bye. And that's AvWeb's in-depth report for Friday, June 23rd, 2006. Look for our next regularly scheduled podcast on Monday, June 26th. And look for some exciting changes on AvWeb during the month of July, including a new website design and expanded coverage of the EAA Air Venture Show at Oshkosh. This is Mike Blakeney reporting. Thanks for downloading us.